Welcome, everybody, to another live recording of the Puppet Parent Podcast.
Episode 2!
That's right. We made it.
Duh.
Duh?
Yeah.
Like, duh.
No, episode it's like French. Two. I was in France this year. Un, deux, trois.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much all I learned. And bonjour, and
yeah.
Merci.
Speak to this microphone.
Right, sorry. You know, it's been a long week.
It's been a long week. It's been a long day. One of those days where you didn't have anything going on, but somehow at the end you're completely exhausted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
By nothing going on, it means a full day of working on everything else. Like, I can't imagine any of our friends are just kicking back, relaxing, and watching some Tiger King, and not, you know...
I don't know. I hear that that's the thing
really
to do
hard.
Right now is watch Tiger King. I was actually going to bring that up to you and be like, hey, can we watch Tiger King?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Let's
I mean, that's the thing that everybody's doing. I guess that's what we're doing after
yeah.
this podcast is
watching
Tiger King.
We were watching that documentary series everybody
Which
was
one?
Watching a year ago about the cult in Oregon.
Oh, that was just a few months ago.
It
that was the
feels like
I can't remember.
Raj cults, the Osho cults.
Yes, Osho.
Yeah. Back in the 70s or is it
I can't
80s?
Remember the name exactly.
Rajneesh Purim.
Rajneesh Purim.
Anyway, also a
That's
good
what
docu-series.
It was. Yes, that was fascinating. Was that on Netflix?
Yes.
That was
same
so
kind of
good.
Insanity.
My friend Susie told me to watch it. She was totally right.
Yeah. Oh, and then after that, we're going to watch... this documentary that was executive produced by one of the guys from Jackass. It's the follow up documentary to your favorite documentary.
Fire Festival?
No.
Oh,
I love that one. No, classic.
No,
the follow up to Fire Festival is Ja Rule launched that app that turned into something called Cameo, which is wildly successful.
Oh, good
so
for him.
Ja
That's
Rule
great.
Never got his comeuppance.
Aww.
His partner's in jail, and Ja Rule's like, we're just going to keep spinning. Like, the end of the documentary, he's like, we're just going to spin this into a win. And he did. He did. So kudos, Ja Rule.
So what's my other favorite documentary? I do have a lot.
The one that you had on VHS that you showed me about the West Virginian...
Oh, the Last Mountain Dancer?
Yes.
The Last Mountain Dancer, Jesco White.
Yes, Jesco White. So
wait, what?
So in 2009, there's a documentary about the White... clan, like the Jesco clan, we saw like briefly in the film previously.
Right,
like
the rest of his family.
Yeah. So it's like this wild and crazy. Like West Virginia has a big, apparently as it had or has apparently on Reddit, everybody's saying it still has a huge meth problem, a huge drug problem, and that family, his family and the extended family, are just like smack dab in the middle.
Yeah,
and it's. What I've read and described is that it's just like just as crazy as Tiger King, like, but it's in West Virginia, so it's a bunch of rednecks on meth.
Oh boy. Well,
yeah.
I would not call them rednecks myself personally. I just wouldn't because I don't think it's a nice term, so I would not use that term. But
I'm not saying all West Virginians. I'm just saying, like, if you've seen the documentary about Jesco, would you not?
I know.
Would you? Or would
well,
you not?
So here, I'm a little troubled by that because here's the thing: is that I definitely watched that documentary and laughed a lot.
Yes.
But then later on in life, I showed it to people and they did not laugh and they thought it was sad. So I don't know. It made me feel bad about laughing.
Bad for laughing.
Yes. But then also there was a follow-up documentary to The Last Mountain Dancer, which. Was not funny. And
well, so for the people watching who have no idea who are
how are we even talking
who are
about
furiously
this?
Googling the
we're
last
supposed to be talking about
mountain
the week
dancer you just look it up. It's this like very self-deluded guy who lives in a trailer who believes that
in the 90s this was in the 90s I like clarification like it, this was produced as like a one-off random PBS documentary for West Virginia in the 90s and then it became this like underground cult sensation where people began making all these copies of VHS tapes all over the place and one ended up in Fredonia and so I ended up watching it at a friend's house and it became like this whole thing of like oh my god The Last Mountain Dancer have you seen it and then I ended up buying myself a copy of it because I just couldn't ever forget how funny it was at the time. And it's just, he's very memorable character, Jessica White. He's a very memorable character.
And a memorable story. And yes. The idea that there's some kind of lost art form, this Appalachian
tap dancing. Right, yes, yes.
Just hilarious.
No, I mean, well, that's true. And his father was famous-ish.
Yes, and we get to see a clip
right.
of this man that he has a lot of respect for doing this traditional, I'm doing air quotes if you're listening at home, Appalachian tap dance.
Why are you doing air quotes? Like, it is.
Yeah, okay. I'll say yes.
You're diminishing the art.
Every time that I saw that,
Some West Virginian is going to be listening to this and be upset.
When I saw this tap dance
routine,
it's
like clogging.
I was like, this isn't real. They think it's real, but this can't be real. This is not a folk art form.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, Chad. All right. So there's a new documentary that I'm supposed to watch. Okay. So we'll watch Jessica
Part 2, mm-hmm. probably way more sad, probably way more drugs, and like other people around him and like the problems.
But is he still impersonating Elvis? These are the questions.
Yeah.
So
badly.
Yes,
we agreed that it was bad.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, that was part of what was so funny.
Thank you.
Anyway. So how was your week, Chad?
Oh, what a week. What a week. Last week, I was telling people in the Boston Puppetry Guild about what we had done as a puppetry company. Because I was like, hey, it's a brave new world. Everybody's streaming now. You got to stream your performances. This is what we're doing. This is like what we use. And this is what we're going to try in our next week. And now that week has come and everything has changed, you know, it's like it feels like a year ago we were actually performing and in close proximity with people. Now we've been actually, in this apartment for 15 days. I'm now measuring out the days by putting little hearts on the door. And I expect the entire door to be full by the end, but we've gone from asking heavy for like people to help out buying merch and donating and stuff to kind of swapping into like a businessy stuff, kind of swapping into a model where we're looking for sponsors for the videos that
for
we're
the puppetry in. Company for Wonder Spark Puppets.
Yeah, so we're streaming live every Friday at 11, and we're like, hey, it would be awesome if businesses who still have a ton of money and are probably getting bailed out too. Could sponsor us, right? Sponsor a video. Family could sponsor a video. And we're looking for like long-term solutions because I figured, and it's probably true, that any like Goodwill donations or like people, friends of family helping out is going to like drop off pretty much immediately. Like somebody like helps you out and that's it, man. Like they're not going to help you out like every week. Like everyone's good and everyone wants to help each other. Mm-hmm. But I had this feeling that like, okay, but then they're going to, you know, tend to their own, you know, so we're looking for long-term solutions with bigger businesses and aiming for private streaming shows so that we can continue. But it's like, it takes up so much of our real estate in here in this tiny little apartment to set up our puppet booth. It's like, you have to squeeze around it. It's not a good situation.
We have to set it up and take it down every single time Chad does a show.
Yeah.
So there's a whole, you know, hour of setup and then an hour of tear down and then, you know, having the kids be in another room and quiet so that Chad can do the show. But, you know, we're managing that and figuring it out and everybody is being actually pretty accommodating. And I should say that the puppetry company is half of our income, and then the other half of our income is I work for the Jim Henson Foundation, and so that was part of my week this week, was doing a lot of work for the Henson Foundation. We put together a whole list of all of our grantees who are continuing to do performances online. A lot of puppeteers are doing similar things to what we're doing, and either sharing past performances online, sharing workshops and DIYs online. So there's this wonderful uptick and growth of all sorts of puppeteers from many different walks in the art form creating online content. And so we created these lists on our website, you could go to HensonFoundation.org and see a list for family audiences and a list for adult audiences. And if you are a grantee from the Jim Henson Foundation and you're creating online content and you're not on those lists, please submit through our Puppet Happening submission form on our website, because we would love to include you. But that was a big part of my week this week, because artists are so busy that a lot of times people forget to self-submit what they're doing. So I was like looking through our entire list of all the grantees and going to everybody's Facebook page and Instagram, being like, are they doing something? Are they doing something? Well, they did something, but I don't know that they wanted everybody to know about. Now that's a personal page. Okay. This person, no. This person, yes. So, you know, deciding who wanted to be included. But that was a big part of my week this week. And then, you know, teaching the kids, feeding the kids, doing the dishes. Chad also doing the dishes.
That's right.
That's right.
That helped out.
Trying to get some outside time in early in the morning before other people are also doing that, so that we can try to maintain some kind of distance from other people.
But it's like, I feel like our understanding of what to do, what not to do changes every single day. So, you know, I felt okay about like taking the kids down to the park or to the playground in early in the morning when nobody else is around on Friday. Now I feel like, but if this virus exists in droplets and it's like misty out, isn't that like the worst case scenario for mega spread?
I don't know.
So it's the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, all right, we're just never leaving. Never leave. just don't go.
Well, we'll see. We do live across the street from a track that's attached to a school. So, I mean, I feel like we could still go out. And I hate running. And I'm even thinking about going and just doing like 4 or 5 laps around the track if nobody's out. And I cannot believe I even said that out loud. Yeah, because usually
last more than a couple.
I'm not saying it's going to last. I'm just saying the fact that I'm even thinking about running in any capacity is like something's going on. You know, the world must be ending, because
world's not going anywhere. World is like, thank you.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
True. The world is
breathe.
Healing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In other words, like, you know, not around to mess it up. Mm-hmm. No, I'm telling you, the stairs right over there. Stairs will give you a good workout.
Oh yeah. Well, we live on the third floor, so what Chad means is like running the kids and himself up and down the stairs. Sorry, neighbors. In fact, I think one of our neighbors is actually watching us right now. Hi, Dennis, across the hall.
Oh, hey. Hello. Oh, did you know what I realized though? Is one of our neighbors, because I had no idea what our neighbors do for a living, right? I always have guesses. But one of the, actually probably the longest running tenants besides us, we've been in this apartment 14 years on April 1st. Happy 14th, sweetheart.
Happy 14th.
Yay.
Next week we'll do a little anniversary cupcake for our 14th anniversary in this apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, she said to the kids, well, should we make a cake? But once you say that...
Well, because I want to make a cake.
We're having
so,
cake.
Yeah,
so you
clearly.
Might as well just say, I'm making a cake. You can't tell
Come
kids.
Come on, it's fun
should
to say.
Should we make it?
Yeah, because then they go, yeah. You know, I'm trying
what
to.
What if you're like, nah, I don't feel like it?
Listen, even the governor said you have to instill joy right now. He said that today.
Wow.
So
well,
he did.
Awesome.
So I'm instilling joy, okay. People.
What was I going to say?
With the cake question.
Man, I got sidetracked, but the stairs.
The stairs.
5 times up. 5 times down, just keep going. Get you breathing, get your heart pumping. Like at the gym, which we're still paying for monthly because we're locked in a contract, but we'll figure that out. I haven't thought about that. At the gym, I would go on the stair machine, which seems silly to be like, oh, a stair machine when I have like stairs that we literally have stairs at home. But yeah, it's a good workout, the stairs. So back to what you were saying. So this week, we've been seeing a lot of puppeteers also streaming their stuff, streaming from their homes with their kids kind of all over them. A couple people got private shows, which is great. I just saw Honey Goodenough. Yeah, did some birthday
That's
party
That's a real
entertainment.
Person, for those
Shout
of you
out.
Who don't know. Honey
what?
Goodenough's her real name.
Yes. It's not even her clown name. It's her actual real name.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, fellow puppeteer, amazing woman. Just Posted got a private gig. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like we're really happy for her.
Yeah, we got to celebrate those private victories. Brad Scherer continues to release really amazing curated workshop content.
His company is Paper Heart Puppets.
Mm-hmm. And Paper Heart Projects, I think, on Patreon. And everybody's kind of like, kind of acclimating, but I still feel like there are all these little pockets of aggregation happening, like the Henson Foundation. You worked really hard to make that really long list of all the grantees that are doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Boston, the Puppet Show Place Theater, Roxy had her huge list of people that like they usually have at their theater that are doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And all the different regions in the country are starting to have like little lists, but there's no main list. Unless you count like a homeschooling website that just lists every single guy with the ukulele and puppeteer midget, like every single thing. So what's happening right now, very exciting, is UNAMA, that's UNAMA USA, mm-hmm. P of A, the Puppeteers of America, and the Center for Puppetry Arts, which is like one of the puppet hubs, and it's the home for UNAMA USA, mm-hmm. are all getting together and collaborating to be like, okay, let's have a big conference where we bring in different amazing puppet people from all over the country, all the different regions, and bring them to one place, have a webinar so we can talk about what's happening, mm-hmm. what needs to happen, and like long-term stuff.
That sounds really exciting. When is that going to happen?
So, Kristen Haverty, if you're out there watching this, well, we actually don't know. They've released a doodle poll a couple mm-hmm. times. We're hoping for April 1st. Now it's looking like April 6th, but more info on that as soon as the definitive date
figuring it out.
Comes out. Like we'll let everybody
know. Everything lately is happening soon, so it'll be sometime in the next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, but it's funny because like time is like, I don't know what's
it's
going
weird.
On. Time.
Time's weird.
When I say April 6th, that's like, that's in 7 days.
Yeah, that's not that far from now.
But it feels like forever from now.
Well, because every single day it feels like so much different stuff is happening. Yeah. You know, this morning I woke up and I posted this on my Facebook wall. I said, every morning I wake up and I have to remind myself that this is still happening. A lot of people replied, yeah, me too. Some people said, yeah, me too at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of, oh, yeah, right, that's still happening. Like, we're still here. You know, for those of you who don't know, we're in Queens, in New York City, which our area of Queens has been really hard hit in terms of the hospitals. It's not necessarily that we have the most cases of any borough or anything, but and maybe we do, I don't know, but we also don't have a ton of hospitals out here.
Wait.
So
I was on the phone today with a fellow puppeteer, and I was like, yeah, Queens, we're the hardest hit. And they're like, wait a second, Brooklyn's the hardest hit.
Yeah, right. So I'm not saying, this is not like who had the most COVID. Like, nobody wants that,
yeah,
right?
It's like hot potato.
But I think that one of the things that happened out here at the Elmhurst Hospital and then also at the Astoria Mount Sinai Queens Hospital is that we just don't have a lot of hospitals that are close to this area. Mm-hmm. And so, because a lot of times, like, people, if they're going to give birth out here in Queens, like, you don't necessarily give birth in Queens. Most of the people I know go to Manhattan to give birth. And that's, for my circles, that's why you use a hospital for the most part. Or if you have some kind of cancer treatments, it's probably not happening here in Queens. It's happening in Manhattan. But if you call an ambulance and you need to go to a hospital, you can't say, my hospital is NYU Langone or my hospital is New York Bellevue. Presbyterian or Bellevue or Cornell, they are going to take you to whatever hospital is closest that has a bed, and you do not get a say in that. And so everybody from this area, if you're using an ambulance, you're going to either Elmhurst or Mount Sinai Queens, and those hospitals are what service this neighborhood, and they are just getting really, really overwhelmed. And so our hearts are with all of the first responders that are working out there, you know, tirelessly day and night, putting themselves at risk, putting their families at risk. I know one working Astoria mom who sent her kid away to live with her parents for a month and will probably now be even longer because she is a nurse and needs to be working these long shifts. Her kid isn't in school anymore, and she doesn't want to expose her family to the virus. So there's a lot of sacrifices that are being made by so many different people to try to make things better for the collective good, including staying home. But then also you have the grocery workers, the people who are still working the laundromats, you know, people who don't live in New York City. Most of you guys probably have washers and dryers in your home. Like, eventually in the next few days, we're going to have to do our laundry again. And, you know, we haven't gotten to a point where we've decided, like, oh, yeah, well, I guess we're going to do laundry in the tub, you know. But if we are not allowed to leave at all at some point for any reason, like, that's, like, the next step. I don't want to do that, but...
I don't think a quarantine's coming. I mean, our governors and the mayor have continually, like, pushed back against the idea of a quarantine because it's just going to make, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And it's funny because today the president was, like, pushing for a quarantine.
He said anybody. It. I mean, he says all sorts of things.
I know. But it's, like, it makes way more sense to say, mm-hmm. No, there's not going to be a quarantine. Everybody's just staying in their houses anyway, trying to be safe. You mm-hmm. know, like, we're all mostly reasonable adults. And we know the consequences. I mean, like, everybody at this point knows somebody who got sick. I was just asking a friend who got sick if he's going to be on this online meeting with our local puppetry guild tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, maybe not. Because even though he has been recovering mm-hmm. and he can breathe again after days of not being able to and only being able to sleep with Benadryl, and, you know, he posted all this stuff publicly, and just being, like on death's door for days and days. He's gotten better, but he's not, like, to a point where he can, like, do anything.
To clarify, he did not go to the hospital, all right? He was very, very sick and had a lot of symptoms, but he was not at a point where he needed to go to the hospital. He could still breathe, but it was, like, the worst flu you've ever had, is basically what he said. So.
Well, he said it was really weird. Well, anyway.
Okay.
So.
But you said he was at death's door, and so I just want to be like...
to me, not being able to breathe and be sick at the same time is death's door. Because it's like, once you've experienced anything like that, it's like, no, never
it's
again.
It's scary. It's scary.
Never again.
Right, right. And so nobody wants to get sick. So we're all doing what we can.
Yeah, and we're wishing you and everybody who's been infected, like, a speedy recovery.
Yep.
You know, and, like, anything we can do to help, mm-hmm. let us know.
And if you don't live in New York City and you're thinking, well, it hasn't come here yet, it's probably already there and you just don't know it yet. So stay home. Stay home. Stay home.
Yeah. I mean, we just heard on the news. It's funny because, like, things change every single day.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the president was saying, Easter, it's going to be an Easter miracle. We're going to be done by then. Now today, somebody finally convinced him, like, actually, we're going to, like, stay away from each other for another 30 days. Today, people were telling people in Louisiana, hey, stay home, guys. Just stay home, stay home, stay home. I feel like a little bit like maybe we're lucky as New Yorkers. We get hit first. I mean, it's really bad in here right now, and it's going to peak. The governor's saying, like, maybe in a couple weeks, which would be nice, right?
We'll see.
It'd be nice to be like, hey, to look forward to, like, the peak, because we're all downhill from there, right, in terms of new cases. as entertainers and performers, we're like, okay, the sooner this peaks and the fever breaks, you know, for our state and goes back down, like, maybe people in less than a year would want to congregate.
You know what? I have to say this. I cannot even actually, like, wrap my head around an actual timeline right now. All I keep telling myself is it's going to be at least another month, because if I actually start to think about a timeline, I spiral. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I start to feel like, oh my God, it's not going to be okay. It's always going to be like this, which I know is not true, but I can't, it's like a rabbit hole and I just go down, 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 down. So I just say, you know what? It's going to be at least another month and we can do this. We've already done, like, 2.5 weeks of this. It's fine. We have what we need and we can get groceries delivered once a week. We are so fortunate. We do have at least one income. Thank you, Cheryl and the Jim Henson Foundation. We're also working really hard for the puppetry company as well.
I feel like you know, we're running the business trying to get income. but it's also like a service.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like
that's what we started doing this.
And anybody who's streaming, who's putting this stuff online, mm-hmm. who's like putting a performance online or anything like that, it's a public service. So many parents have told us, you know, thank you for streaming this stuff. It brought us joy and laughter. And I was just telling, we got interviewed by Business Insider about pivoting the business, and who knows if it'll turn into anything. But one thing that I was relating during the interview, I was saying, you know, it reminds me a lot of what we had done for 10 years at the hospital. So I volunteered every month at Mount Sinai Children's Hospital in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal for doing like live game shows, because they have a TV studio in their basement, and we broadcast live to every single room in the hospital, right? And we do like game shows, like Name the Movie and stuff, puppet mm-hmm. game shows, silliness. The goal was not to entertain as much. It wasn't to like make money. It wasn't for like anything like that. The goal was to make people forget that you're in a hospital, forget your kid has cancer, you know. Forget that, like, you're like, if you're in that hospital, it's serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, forget for an hour about the outside world and, you know, like, just laugh for a little bit and have fun with your family. And I feel like even if we made $0, you know, we would keep going, because people need it. And I feel like it's up to us who have this kind of thing. Like, we have a bunch of puppet shows, you know. Let's share them, you know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
You have an instrument in the closet, bring it out, because it's going to help somebody. And all we have right now is like the news and like everything fighting against like that, like all the joy that we can spread into the world, like all the music, all the mm-hmm. art, you know, is going to help everybody and show people like, hey, you know, like all these artists, you know, we exist, and you need us, and we need you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I really like that we're doing the live puppet show stream on Fridays, because I think it's something to look forward to every week. And if it's 11 a.m., so even if, for 11 a.m., I feel like we're servicing maybe the preschoolers or the schooling kids who are on a more flexible schedule, and then for kids who are on a more rigid schooling schedule, it's recorded, so then you can watch it after you're done with your schoolwork on Friday. Because I know for our family, Fridays are always like a special treat day. You know, you pick up the kids from school, and then they really got into wanting donuts or ice cream on Fridays. So we would...
Somebody don't know who that started that one.
Hey, you know what? You work real hard, you get to have a treat, and that was the treat that they really wanted. So now they can't ask for donuts every day. They get them on Fridays, and I always feel like Friday is just a special day, and so I think that having the shows on Fridays is like a little nod to that. And we have heard from so many different parents saying that it's brought a lot of joy and laughter into their homes, and that just makes us feel like, yeah, awesome, okay, we're gonna keep doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, whatever support that we're able to garner from that, that's great. But like at the end of the day, it really is about trying to make the best of this crazy situation, and you know, giving people a little bit of an escape, especially the kids, a little bit of an escape, and bringing some of our art form to everybody else, you know, the thing that we love and that we love to do every day, all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All day, every day, huh?
All day, every day. Well, it was. It was all day. I mean, you were working so much.
Yeah, I know.
You
and
were.
And we will again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like life goes on. Life's complicated, right? Yeah, but like, kids are very adaptive, and so are we.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just it's so much stress working online, but it's getting less stressful.
Yes, now we're getting a routine. I think the first 2 weeks were like the most, because we had to establish everything was new. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any kind of models or anything to like, or systems in place. So now we have, you know, kind of a little bit more of a schedule. We have a way, like, goals that we're trying to set for ourselves, but they're much more achievable than these, like, what are we doing? I don't know. Let's try it. Okay, now we're doing this. We're going to do these puppet DIYs every day. Okay. You know, now we've kind of parsed it out a little bit more. We're still doing the puppet DIYs every day, but we definitely have a lot of support from our performing partners, Christina and Jenny and Julia, who are also a big part of our team. And it's just been really great. I feel like the teamwork has been awesome, and especially even us, like our teamwork, you know, like people, high five. I think people sometimes wonder, like, how can you live in such a small space and work together and have kids together? And it's like, you know what? It's actually not so bad. I think the hardest times are when we're super, super busy and Chad's in and out and I'm in and out and we're like high-fiving and basically handing the kids to each other, which is what sometimes our normal life can be like. And this has been nice, actually, to be home so much and enjoying each other and, you know, figuring out a schedule where the kids can still get their stuff done, but then we can also get our stuff done. Mm-hmm. So we're figuring that out. Every day is different, but, you know, most of the days it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they've been pretty chill. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the situations where I'm so glad that there's two of them, because otherwise it would just be, I don't know what.
Well, I was an only child. It would be one of them. But
can you imagine if you were an only child and it was just you and your parents in your house for who knows how long?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yes, I can. But in a house. I can't necessarily imagine it in a small, tiny space like this, because I grew up in a larger house. So it's a lot easier to be, you know, left alone for hours at a time in a larger house. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played a lot of video games growing up, and, mm-hmm. you know, our kids are playing some video games. What I want to be doing that we're not doing yet is I want to be playing more board games. I want to be playing more games all together as a family. So that mm-hmm. is, now that things have kind of calmed down a little bit and we can breathe a little bit more, I want to be trying to make that happen more for us. Since we do have this time together, I want to, you know, have that. That's my goal. Chad's like, I'm busy.
No, I mean, I'm getting less busy. It was like a 2-week sprint to get everything set, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I feel like, you know, I can relax a little bit. But the more I relax because I'm not working as hard to get everything mm-hmm. ready, the more I'm thinking about it. And last night I had like my first real like stress nightmare where I was like swimming in a black ocean and giant earth-sized eyeball mouth opens up, and you know, I can control my dreams. So, you know, I made everything scary shrink to the size of a tiny pebble, because that's what I do when I dream. But when I woke up, I was like, well, it's finally getting to me. Probably because I kind of relaxed for half of the day yesterday. So I don't know. I think everybody has their own way of dealing, isn't that right?
Yeah, we do. We have our own way of coping. Mm-hmm. I definitely still am keeping my therapy lesson next Wednesday. Really excited about it. but, you know, I hope that if this week upcoming can be anything like this last week, then we're doing okay in terms of just like the general vibe in the apartment and like the vibe from the kids. I just picked up 2 weeks worth of schoolwork and activities from my son's school. He's in first grade. Well, we have two sons, but my older son's school. I have to look through all that, which I'll probably do tomorrow morning, because we try to start school by 9. Sometimes we start at 8. That's like exciting when we get to start super early. Sounds like that.
Right after a meal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been taking them outside,
We went outside once to the park.
Yeah.
Once to the track across the street.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be Fridays only, but maybe not at this point.
Well, anyway,
we're definitely going to do the stairs.
But we at least have dance parties in the morning before school starts, because it's important to get moving and grooving mm-hmm. and stuff.
And our youngest loves to dance.
Yeah, Alif likes to dance too.
Yeah, but he just you know, just like, he got the wiggles. You know,
sometimes he really grooves into it though. Sometimes he does. He will
go over to the keyboard.
We all have our different
thing. The tiny keyboard, turn it on, and crank him. He knows he's learning to read. Thank you, Z. But he'll
the youngest. Yep, yes.
Hit the numbers for the dance music he likes, and just like, you know, lose himself to the rhythm.
It is awesome to watch that. I will say that I've been teaching our 4.5-year-old to read. He finally said he wanted to learn how to read. I shouldn't say finally, but I've been offering. I said, whenever you want to learn how to read, I'm happy to teach you. So I've been teaching him how to read, and that's been really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, he read his first book today.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah. I mean, the book consisted of about 4 words, but it was all about Matt and Sam and who sat on who. But it was, sometimes Matt sat on Sam, sometimes Sam sat on Matt. And I think there might be a cat involved in book 2, but I know, whoa. I will say that once you read your first word without help, it is very exciting to be there for that moment. Then that moment was today. That was a big deal.
Yeah. Everybody celebrated together and it's cool with the two boys is they're both into the same stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, little brother's always going to be into whatever older brother's into. I mean, that's just how siblings work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're all kind of like, you know, like participating now all together, taking turns, which is great. And and because we're so close to each other, the instant that there's something... I don't know if this is, like, good or bad, but the instant, because I'm sitting there, like, working, and they're, like, playing right next to me, so the instant there was, like, give me that controller, I was like, hold on, let's try this again, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, when is correcting, like, too much correcting? I just feel like, we should always, like, let them work out their stuff, but I don't want any physical violence.
Well, so. I think that that's one of the things that happens with living in a really small living space like we do is that there isn't that ability for them to, like, go off to the basement and, like, figure things out on their own and be kind of Lord of the Flies about it. Like, that doesn't get to happen because we are always very aware of everything that's happening, for better or worse. And definitely sometimes I like to try to, like, shut it off even a little bit and practice some benign neglect where I'm just like, you know what? I'm trying to let them figure it out. Oh, that sounds bad. Oh, somebody's crying. Okay. All right. You know, but...
well, on the opposite end of that is what happened to me in my childhood, which was we got left alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did, it was like, even if we had a babysitter, it was all rules are off. It's what happens when you're in a very controlling family, you know, where, like, you get hit, is like, as soon as those people are gone, it's like anything goes. And we would play Marco Polo in the dark, which was one person is blindfolded and you're in a dark room and everybody else gets a pillow and hides. And it's not about them finding you. It's about them calling out Marco over and over and over again until they find somebody. And then as soon as they touch somebody, our game was, you know, you become the next Marco. But everybody is beating you with pillows, just like smashing and, like, you know, brutal. That's the kind of experience that I'm like, all right, never leave them alone. Like, never let that happen.
And I have no concept of that because I was an only child. Yeah. So I just sat with my board games alone, crying, wondering why I didn't have anyone to play my board games with.
Yeah, you never had an older brother feed you dog turds.
No, but I did babysit a kid once who tried to sneak me cat treats into my Chex Mix.
Yeah.
Jenny. We're Facebook friends. It's funny now, a little.
It wasn't funny for me when my brother opened up a case with, like, mummified dog poop and got my mouth. And he still, to this day, thinks it's funny.
It's so gross.
Yes.
Ew.
Siblings.
Yep, didn't have them.
It's like, you love them or you hate them. Maybe both.
Na-na-na-na-na. Hey, is there anything else we should talk about? Because we are, we're, it's
where we're about, at.
We're at 40 minutes.
I mean, you know, just let it roll.
I know, but I'm feeling like...
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah. You know, it might be that time. I mean, what are we looking forward to next week? Maybe we should talk about that.
Last week, we were figuring it out. This week, we solidified. This is what it's going to be. This is what we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're shooting for. And hopefully, it's going to continue to work. I'm looking forward to conferencing with all these other puppeteers to see how everybody's doing. Because I feel like we don't have, like, a pulse yet for the entire community. Like, how's everybody doing?
I mean, the thing I think I have the hardest time with, remember when I was saying earlier that I have a really hard time picturing a timeline? Because any of the timeline predictions that I maybe have read that were written by, like, people that sound really smart, none of them include when we might ever be able to get back to seeing, like, an entertainment show, right? Going to a concert in a park, even. Or going to see a Broadway show. None of them include that. And that, to me, is extremely distressing. And I know that it won't be forever, but I just can't help but feel like, what is happening? Like, what is going to happen? Like, all of these institutions, I mean, is what the government is doing, is that going to be enough? Are we going to... I mean, we'll be okay, but is New York City going to be forever changed because of this? I mean, yes, I guess it will be, but how much? And I mean, I don't know. Well, it's just theater and everything is such a big part of my life, and I just, it's hard to think about that. You know, maybe I shouldn't be thinking about it too much, but I can't help it because so many of my friends and myself, and it's just, I don't know, it's hard. You know,
We didn't live in New York City in 2001. I feel like theater people and puppeteers who were in the city that year and the years that followed would have an idea about when people are going to come back. Because, you know, I was in my college dorm room in September of that year, and the months that followed was just this relentless paranoia, and I can't imagine how it felt living in the city at that time, because it felt like the world was ending,
right?
You know, and that anything, like, anything could happen, like all these bad things were coming, and I feel like and maybe it'll be that way. Like, how soon into 2002 was it before, like, Broadway bounced back? You know, like, how long did people have to fight to stay afloat? And maybe the advantage we have now is that the government is, like, you know, cutting checks for people. Maybe. We'll see. That's the plan anyway.
Right. I mean, then, like, I feel like there's so many different levels of stress that are happening right now. Like, there's the stress of teaching your kids. There's the stress of working from home while you're also supposed to be managing teaching your kids. There's the stress of just, like, global pandemic. Hello. And then there's this added stress that of, like, okay, so they passed this huge bill through the government, and now we have to figure out, how do we apply for that? Or should I really try to get my taxes in this week? Maybe I should, so that the 2019 taxes count for us instead of the 2018, or is that going to hurt us? Like, I don't know. I have to, like, figure all that out. And then also, like, you know, our retirement investments, like, should I just not look at it? Maybe I just shouldn't look. I mean, it's like there's and that's just some of them. Like, I could even add more layers of stress. Like, oh my God, what are we gonna eat? Like, I mean, beans. We have food, but yeah, will the kids eat beans? I mean, it's, you know, I feel like making the one meal that I make every single day now has been breakfast. I can start the day strong and make breakfast every day. From there, it kind of sometimes takes a nosedive. I'm just going to be honest. Like, sometimes I'm just like, honey, is there something in the freezer? Chicken nuggets? Sounds great. Okay. I think we have some rice. Make that, you know? Because by the end of the day, it's just exhausting. It is exhausting. But, you know, it's it's also been good. I don't mean to be like ending on this stressful note, but it is. This is the reality of it all, and like, and living here in New York City, it's really hard. We don't have a backyard. We even asked our landlord, can we have access to the backyard area? And he said no. He said it was not safe, which I don't know what that means. Maybe there's, you know, broken glass back there or something. I don't know. But he said no. So it's, you know, there have not been many moments where I have pined for a backyard. But I think that, especially as the weather gets nicer. And the other interesting thing, too, is that there's only really one time of the year when we have our windows open in this apartment. And it's right now, because we haven't put the air conditioners in yet. There will be a point where it'll get dreadfully hot for 2 days in a row, and then we both will say, okay, put the air conditioners in. We're done. We can't take it. But there's this period from about now until maybe like mid-May where it's really nice, and we have the windows open, and you can hear the birds, and you can hear like the sounds of the city.
I hear the birds right now.
Well, you mean the radiator?
Oh, no, that's the radiator, actually, because it's still cold out. It's cold enough for the radiators to kick in.
Yeah.
So it's still spring.
You know, we had a nice shout-out from Casey Newman. She said, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. My 9-year-old and 6-year-old look forward to your Facebook Live show every week. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thanks for watching.
We love doing this. And Patricia said hi. We know Patricia from our video game stuff from long ago. Mm-hmm. And Laura said April 6th feels like light years away. It does. Yep. It's only a few days from now.
Like, what is next month? We've been trapped in March for light years, man. It's like that Stephen King short story about in the future when they invent teleportation. But you have to be asleep when you go through the teleportation device. Otherwise, your mind is trapped in like an infinitely long, like way longer than you think, state of just being awake. Ooh. As you like physically in some way travel. I don't know. Anyway, it's a pretty good short story.
Yeah.
Cool. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully April 6th. The Puppetry Guild meeting is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, and I just want to see what people are up mm-hmm. to and who's been affected, because normally I feel like we have a pretty good understanding of what's mm-hmm. happening out there in terms mm-hmm. of like, oh, this person's doing this person, because part of your job is tirelessly going through the internet and checking up on all these grantees and all these different puppet regions and being like, oh, well, this person's doing this, this person's mm-hmm. doing this. Now it's like I have no idea, because we're like the playing field is flat and we're all in the same space. We're all just trying to get the word out to all of our people.
Right.
And at the same time, support each other. But you can't support somebody if you don't know that they're hurting. Right? So now's the time to figure out, okay, what institutions are like hurting the most? How do we help them? Mm-hmm. You know, what person needs our help? Let's all collectively, you know, give a big hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I mean, all we can do is, you know, continue to make things and share them with you guys and hope that it brings a little bit of joy to you and that this can be something that maybe people relate to or at least know what our experience is like here. I keep seeing our laundry piles increasing and thinking, oh, God, now we have to deal with laundry again. Like anytime
you really
we
hate the laundry.
Well, no, I just hate leaving the apartment because it's stressful. It's stressful. So, you know, I went to my office today because it's very close to my son's school, where I had to pick up his packet for the next 2 weeks. And I picked up just a couple more office supplies, and one of them was a postage scale, so I wouldn't have to actually go to the post office, because the last time I went, it was so scary. Which I never thought I would ever say is scary to go to the post office. But for me, I don't know. Like, I'm not somebody that has a lot of anxiety, but just, like, if there was a person there was not adhering to any of the social distancing rules, and it just made me feel like I wanted to crawl out of my skin. So I got home and took a shower.
That's gonna continue.
Yeah.
People, like, not being down with what our most of our society, especially here in New York City, is just like is down with. When you go outside, you don't, you know, anecdotally, we haven't witnessed a lot of people, you know, throwing parties and, you know, like not staying home. It's like everybody's home. If you're out, mm-hmm. you either have a laundry bag or gym tights or a dog, like one of those three things. And if you don't, maybe you're going to work. You know what I mean? But there's no, mm-hmm. nobody's hanging out on the street corner, at least in our neighborhood. You know, I know it's different in every neighborhood, but like out here in Western Queens or even just in our neighborhood, you know, it's like everybody's staying indoors.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, and you know, I actually, one of the things I heard about that was so nice is that there's, a fund, that's happening where all the money is going to local restaurants, which are then catering to the local hospitals that you guys have all been seeing on the news that are so overrun with patients.
Nice.
So, and one of the restaurants is one of my favorite Italian restaurants, Ornella, which is on 23rd Avenue. And I haven't been ordering takeout because I'm just scared about getting anything in or out. We get groceries once a week, and then somehow we figure out laundry like once every week and a half. But other than that, we haven't been ordering anything. But I was so happy to see that these local restaurants have been catering to the local hospitals, and that there was a GoFundMe set up where people can donate to, you know, help cover the costs of the food to help support all these workers. So,
Casey in the chat says, mm-hmm. here in Virginia, we're just now getting a homework packet, with the next one not coming until mid-April. Oof. And she says, D.C. was crazy. Still crazy last weekend around the tidal basin. I was anxious. Yeah, I can't mm-hmm. imagine people getting mm-hmm. together right now and pretending like that it's fine.
Well, and yes. And that, I don't know, I feel like the misinformation that's coming from the top of the government down, it is really not helping that, you know.
Well, even the misinformation king had to tell people to stay away from each other for 30 days.
I mean, today, it's just crazy. I do take a lot of solace in watching our governor and our mayor give speeches almost daily now. I think our governor is giving daily updates,
yes.
And that has been very comforting to me. Actually, and I really liked the one that he gave this morning where, you know, towards the end of it, right before he took questions, he said, you know, it's really important to find some joy in all of this. And I was like, yeah, that's what we do. Our cat
is right there.
if everything just gets knocked over.
Hold on, I'm gonna show you. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and there's you. Hey, chat. Yeah, she's our beautiful little tortie that adopted us. Oh, please don't knock
come
down
here,
this
honey.
Webcam.
Come here. Come
oh,
here.
She's sniffing it.
Get down. Get down. The last thing... Get down. Go.
What do you mean, guys? Aren't we going to snuggle? It's bedtime.
Well, the last thing I want to just mention real quick is that for people who are listening to this who are suddenly being thrown into the homeschooling lake... or ocean, and wondering, like, well, hold on, I did not sign up for this. I sent my kids to school because I did not want to homeschool. You know, I had done a lot of research on homeschooling because I had thought that might be a path that our family might go down at some point, and we still might because of touring. You know, our puppetry company has been invited to perform in puppetry festivals throughout the world in different countries. And if we set up a tour that was more than just a couple weeks, then it would be possible that we would take the kids out of school for a couple months to then tour the world. But at the same time, we would have to be prepared to do some kind of homeschooling to keep them up to the same levels as their peers so that when they went back to school, they weren't behind. And so I was always interested in that. And there's so many resources online that can really help to support you in your homeschooling journey. And one of my favorites was a podcast that is not running anymore currently. I think that, you know...
Did it end poorly?
No, it didn't end. I think they just got really busy. I think that it's just on hiatus, and maybe they'll have more episodes. But there was a lot of really great support and information in that podcast, and that podcast was called Savvy Homeschool Moms. And I found so much information and support through that, just in terms of resources and things that they really liked, because they were secular, two different secular moms who were not religious specifically, and they really had put together, they had older kids, so they talked about homeschooling younger kids and homeschooling older kids, Savvy Homeschool Moms.
Is it Savvy with two V's?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know if it's .com, but anyway, it's the podcast is Savvy Homeschool Moms. And it was just really great. And so, I don't know, if you want to listen to that and find some comfort in some of the different tactics that they use to set up, like they would have stations in their home. Your kids could pick like what they wanted to do and what area they wanted to work in that day. Also, they talk a lot about child-led learning, the Charlotte Mason approach. There's all these different areas that I know you don't have time probably to like go down a rabbit hole of all the different homeschooling techniques, but you might find a couple of tips in listening to it while you're doing other things that might give you a little bit of a breather to feel like, okay, you know what? This isn't so bad. We can get through this, and I can find ways to make it more fun so that I'm not having to, you know, have an argument with my kid every day about doing their work. So, you know, just a little tip before we say goodnight. That's
okay.
All.
On that note, thanks so much to everybody for tuning in, for listening.
Thanks.
Over on Facebook Live. Thank you for everybody who chatted, who shared. Thank you all so much. Thanks for your support. We're going to keep on doing our thing.
Yep.
And we'll have another weekly podcast Sunday night at, let's say, 9-ish.
9-ish, depending on how bedtime goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you all can relate, fellow parents. All right.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. And stay safe. Stay healthy.
Au revoir.
And we love you too, Kelly. Bye.